Does Dr. Craig get it wrong? I mean, he's not perfect. There's a video on YouTube that claims he gets it wrong, at least on one issue, so let's take a look. Welcome to Reasonable Faith with Dr. William Lane Craig. I'm Kevin Harris. Let me play some audio for you from a video produced by Skydive Phil. Now, you're probably like me, you don't fully understand the conformal cyclic cosmology that Roger Penrose has developed, but let me assure you that it's fascinating. And even if you're not that much into cosmology, I think you're going to find this interesting, and you're going to pick up some important principles that apply to other areas, like the importance of correctly interpreting someone's views and being generous when doing so. And it looks like over 55,000 people have viewed this video in which Roger Penrose himself is asked about Dr. Craig's particular statements on the conformal cyclic cosmology. And that's just one video related to this. There are also other social media outlets making an impact about this. And we want Reasonable Faith to continue making an impact all over the world using video, these podcasts, articles, Dr. Craig's debates and public speaking, and more. So please help us make that important impact if you stand for the importance of Reasonable Faith. Right now, any gift that you give will be doubled up to $200,000 thanks to a generous donor. Now take advantage of this. It's only offered until the end of the year, so act quickly. You can double the impact of your gift and keep the impact of Reasonable Faith. Go to reasonablefaith.org and give quickly and easily online, and we so appreciate it. Please pray for Reasonable Faith as we seek to continue coming into your life in the coming year. Now, here's the audio from the Skydive Phil interview with Roger Penrose.
Sean Carroll, and he is soon going to be debating a theologian named William Lane Craig. And a key difference between their viewpoints is whether or not the universe could exist eternally into the past. And when asked about CCC on his podcast, William Lane Craig stated, and I'll read you this thing that he actually said, just so we can check the accuracy. It's not clear at all that these other cycles are chronologically prior to our Big Bang. Rather, it seems what is described here is more like a multiverse model in which you have twin expanding universes coming out of an origin point so that you do not have one universe chronologically prior to the other. Rather, they both share a common beginning before which there is not anything, and then you have a sort of branching or multiverse structure. So our impression is that this is not an accurate representation of the CCC model, and we just want to be sure, is that correct?
You're correct, that is very inaccurate.
It sounds very inaccurate.
No, I should say that CCC is definitely not a multiverse model in the form that people put it. They have sort of parallel universes, these are sequential.
Dr. Craig, Roger Penrose, fascinating man. We look to him a lot for cosmology and his study. You've been a researcher of his work as well. He's been talking a while about conformal cyclic cosmology. Several people have sent emails to me to check out some videos where it is alleged that you misinterpret Roger Penrose on this, and perhaps some clarification is needed.
Yeah, good, Kevin. Anyone who is interested in this needs to look at the article that I co-authored with James Sinclair, which is called On Non-Singular Spacetimes and the Beginning of the Universe. This essay appeared in the book Scientific Approaches to the Philosophy of Religion in the year 2012. And in this article, Jim Sinclair considers four possible responses to the implication of the Borg-Guth-Vilenkin theorem that implies that the universe had a beginning. He lists four such attempts to evade the implications of the Borg-Guth-Vilenkin theorem. First would be an infinitely contracting universe, which then bounces back into an expansion phase. So the universe contracts from infinity and then bounces back into an expansion. Second possibility would be what's called an asymptotically static universe. And in this view, the universe is basically static from infinity past and then begins to expand at some point. The third type of model would be eternally cyclic universe. And here, Penrose's conformal cyclic cosmogony would be an example of a universe which is eternally going through a cycle of expansions. And then finally, number four would be an attempt to have models based on a reversal of the arrow of time. And the model championed by Sean Carroll, the Carroll-Chen model, would be an example of this. Now, Jim offers in this article a response to each of these four attempts to evade the implications of the Bohr-Guth-Vilenkin theorem. And in response to the Penrose conformal cyclic model, he offers a number of criticisms. And here I think that Skydive Phil and these videos have simply misunderstood what Sinclair is saying. In the video, she asks Penrose, is this an accurate representation of your theory? Now, Jim accurately exposits the theory, but what he then offers is a critique of the theory. And it's very important to distinguish, Kevin, between what a theory asserts and what a theory implies.
Mm.
For example, the typical cyclical models of the universe, that the universe is like an accordion expanding and contracting from eternity, actually implied the beginning of the universe, because entropy is conserved from cycle to cycle, and so each cycle was bigger than the one before it and took longer than the one before it. So as you trace the cycles back in time, they got smaller and smaller until you came to a beginning of the universe. So these old cyclic models of the universe actually implied the beginning of the universe. But of course, they didn't assert the beginning of the universe. These were attempts to evade the beginning of the universe. So there's a difference between what a theory asserts and what it implies. Similarly, with regard to the Carroll-Chen model, in my debate with Sean Carroll, what I argue is that his model based on a reversal of time actually does not imply an eternal universe, but it really implies a universe with a beginning. Now, how is that? Well, on his model, space-time is sort of like an hourglass, that as you go back in time, the universe shrinks down to this narrow neck, and then it re-expands out again. And the top of the hourglass is a sort of mirror image of the lower half of the hourglass. In particular, the direction of time in the model runs from the narrow neck into the expanding part, so that time does not continue through the neck of the hourglass to the lower half as you go back in time. In no sense on the Carroll-Chen model is that lower half of the hourglass earlier than or before the upper half of the hourglass. And this is true even though you could draw a geometrical line right through the hourglass neck from the lower half to the upper half. The arrow of time runs in different directions. They're mirror images of each other. And so what Sinclair has plausibly argued, I think, is that the Carroll-Chen model is not really a model of an eternal universe. It's a model of a sort of branching universe that has an origin in the neck, and then you have two universes emerging, each with its independent arrow of time, from that common origin point. And Aaron Wall, as I point out in the debate, a cosmologist, makes the same point. He thinks that the Carroll-Chen model involves a thermodynamic beginning of time, which is just as problematic as a metaphysical or philosophical beginning of time. And this is the point, the very similar point, that Sinclair is making about the Penrose model. On the Penrose model, his argument is that you can't really say that these universes that are stacked up are sequentially ordered in time. Rather, there is time in each universe that runs from the Big Bang to infinity. And there isn't a kind of hyper time in which these are all then sequentially ordered. So Sinclair writes this, we may as well just interpret his model as having a reversed arrow of time when looking to the past of a Big Bang singularity so as to obey a second law of thermodynamics. Extendability by this understanding would be a technical artifact rather than an indication of past eternity. So he's saying that even though you could trace an extendable line through these different sequences or universes, they don't really stand in temporal order to each other. And it was very interesting in the interview with Penrose. Did you notice what he said? He says, as you go into the past, there becomes a time at which mass first becomes relevant. And then he says, before that, mass was not relevant, and so there was no time. Now, on the face of it, that's logically incoherent. It's logically incoherent to say, before that, there was no time. And so Sinclair thinks that this same problem attends the conformal cyclic cosmology. Let me read again from the article. He says, if two stages of a cosmogony did not stand on one and the same time axis, then it would be false to ascribe to them an earlier than or later than relation, even though extendability existed between the relevant universe phases. Recall, for example, that Penrose denies a real time value to his boundary as a physical necessity. When Penrose says, the remote future of one phase of the universe becomes the Big Bang of the next, his statement is arguably incoherent in the context of his model. So I think that this is a criticism well worth considering and not just dismissing. It is not an inaccurate representation of the model, because it's not a representation at all. It's talking about what the model implies rather than what the model asserts. And so I think the interview was just misconceived.
Bill, as your co-host and friend, I could defend you all day that you're not being disingenuous and that you didn't redefine Penrose's model here. But I don't have to, because so many commentators have pointed this out to people, and so many bloggers and commentators have said, no, Dr. Craig and Jim Sinclair are critiquing the model or evaluating the model. They're not misdefining. Now, all over the internet, I've seen your defense here, people coming to your defense. And so I'm glad, because when you read headlines like one blogger, William Lane Craig is either lying or getting things very wrong, it's an inflammatory, something that you say, not very gracious, not very...
uncharitable.
Uncharitable, that's
what you
say.
This violates the scholarly principle of interpreting your opponent as charitably as possible, to treat him fairly, give him the benefit of a doubt. And I know, for example, that Jim Sinclair is infallibly fair and accurate in representing the cosmological models that he evaluates and critiques. So to say that one is lying or disingenuous, I think, is not scholarly discourse. This is worthy of the internet, but not taking seriously.
Sure. And this particular blog wraps up that he thinks that Penrose's model, his conformal cyclic cosmology, would eliminate the Kalam cosmological argument. Do you think, as it stands, that it would either change or eliminate the second premise?
No, because the second premise is based first and foremost on philosophical arguments, of which the scientific evidence is confirmatory. Mm-hmm. But secondly, just offering a model, Kevin, isn't enough to overturn that second premise. You would have to show that this model is true, that it has the evidence of contemporary cosmogony in its favor, as opposed to models involving a beginning. And it simply doesn't. It is just a possibility, but there's no grounds for thinking that this model is plausibly true. But Sinclair's critique is powerful, because what he's saying is First, that the model is based upon a number of mathematical tricks that are dubious in their physical implications, and that secondly, even if the model is correct, it still doesn't avoid the beginning of the universe.
We've done podcasts on the multiverse, the state of the multiverse. I was joining many others in saying, look, there's just not enough evidence for a multiverse. You know, we don't have to worry about it. Put it on the back burner. Justin Brierley, you've been on his show, unbelievable, yes, many times. He produced something that said the same thing. You know, multiverse, that's very interesting, but there's not a lot of evidence for it. But it seems that it's not going away quietly into the night, that the people are still hanging on to it. The cosmologists still want to affirm this model. So it's still in the literature, apparently, Bill, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, absolutely. This is the main alternative to a cosmic designer, is to say that we're just a random member of a multiverse in which all of the various constants and quantities are explored and take various values, so that somewhere in the multiverse, fine-tuned universes like ours will appear by chance.
And Bill, like it or not, this Skydive Phil video, his videos are well produced, and they've had quite an impact and lit up the blogosphere on some things. I was reading this blog. It says, the general thrust of the argument centers on the claim that Penrose's model does not describe consecutive cycles of the universe, but rather that the cycles are concurrent, sharing a common beginning. In Skydive Phil's film of an interview with Roger Penrose, Penrose directly refutes this notion, stressing that the conformal cycles of his cosmology do not originate in a common beginning and instead are sequential.
Yeah, clearly the blogger has failed to understand the difference between what a theory asserts and what a theory implies. And he is mistaken when he says that Sinclair's critique suggests that the cycles are concurrent. That would be to imply, again, some sort of overarching time in which these universes all exist simultaneously. And Sinclair's point is that there is no such time on this. These times within each universe are incommensurable. So you can't say that these are concurrent any more than you can say that they are sequential. And Penrose doesn't refute this idea. Rather, what he does is he corrects the claim that his model does not assert a sequential ordering of these. And that's quite right. It does assert a sequential ordering of these. But this is not to respond to Sinclair's critique that that part of the model is without physical justification.